Do you want to be more happy? I'd bet the answer is yes. I mean, who wouldn't? But what about having more joy in your life? What about being more excited? How about more content or enthusiastic? All of these words sound the same. They're all positive, but do they mean the same thing? If you're joyful, does that necessarily mean that you're happy? And does it work in both directions? If you're happy, does that mean you're full of joy? And if they are different, then which is the most important? It might sound like just semantics, but it's important because you do not end up at a destination that you didn't purposely set out for. No one accidentally stumbles upon their dream life. So the first step towards creating your dream life is to define it. Welcome to Change Made Easy. Changing your habits and routines is hard. We make it easy. My name is Paul Levitin. I am a board-licensed health and wellness coach, and I've been working with people just like you, helping them build better habits and routines for over a decade. Building your dream life starts with changing the habits that are holding you back, breaking them down, and building new, better habits in their place. Jack Canfield said, "Your habits will determine your future," and it's true. Change your habits to change your life. It really is that simple. And we're here to make it easy. Today's guest is Joanna Armstrong. Joanna is a coach, author, and healer who teaches how to switch from worry, frustration, fear, and anger to joy and ease. For the past 15 years, Joanna has been helping clients free themselves from negative feelings and emotions that hold them back by tapping into what she calls blissy joy. In this conversation, we discuss understanding blissy joy and its distinction from conventional happiness, the transformative journey that finding true joy within yourself will bring you on, as well as the key distinction between the societal and true definitions of happiness. And you can expect to learn strategies so that you can take a step back and gain perspective to address your life's challenges, as well as the importance of dreaming and visualizing as tools for achieving your own personal joy. So please, I hope you're ready and enjoy this conversation with Joanna Armstrong. What is bliss joy?
Well, I call it blissy joy. It's a state of being. And I discovered it after years and years of my own journey, my own trials and tribulations. And I discovered that I can connect to a feeling, a power, a state of complete and utter better than best. And after I discovered that, I decided that this was something that I needed to share with the people, and people need to hook up to and get properly happy, as opposed to this pretend happiness that a lot of people live. So, blissy joy. We need more of it.
Definitely sounds like it. And I'm curious then, you mentioned just now this real happiness versus kind of this fake happiness that a lot of us are working towards. So how do you define happiness?
Well, that's shifted. I'm a few years older than you, and across the years, I've tested different versions. I've tested different versions of happiness and joy, and initially, I fell for the what society kind of serves up. I did go to church as a child. My mom dragged me there. And I actually remember complaining to her that I didn't have a connection to this, whatever it is you went to church for. And she said, "Oh, we'll come." And I never did until I got out of church, until I got older, and until I had my own children, and until I was ready to question what this spiritual thing was all about. And on that path, I have discovered a joy beyond happy, haha, beyond the new car, beyond the new house, beyond the dog, the cat, the children, the garden, whatever hobbies you have. It's a joy where nothing else matters, and all the dust bunnies around the house that I used to be really upset about, and all the irritations and all the pressures and all of that just vanishes. So it's a state that you can get there if you choose it, and you can get there very simply. And funnily enough, that becomes the issue, that it's too simple. But happiness is more of an inside thing. It's a feeling, it's a sensation, it's a state, as opposed to this fleeting, quick fix joy of a new toy, let's say. So yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful state where it's not a selfish state. It might sound like it. I mean, shouldn't you take care and help people and start with, serving? If you're serving, that's great. But are you really happy serving? Are you really at ease and satisfied in your life serving? Start with yourself, and then the giving will be even more joyful. So that's kind of the premise.
Yeah, that's a lot of different pieces that I want to touch on right there. It's interesting. So we're recording this about 3 days before my birthday. I'm going to be 34, and I was writing a kind of a little list of just like, thoughts, lessons, whatever you want to call it. 34 things, 34 lessons for my 34th birthday type of deal. Those kitschy little blogs that people love to put out. And one of the things that I wrote down just yesterday was that being selfish is actually selfless. And a lot of times being selfless is actually selfish, because a lot of times what we look at as being selfless, the giving, the charity work, it's like you're doing that for a reason, and that reason is to usually make yourself feel better, right? If you post the picture on Instagram of you doing the service, or even if you never tell anyone, you do get a good feeling from it, right? It's you get something from giving as well. And yet when we're selfish,
Absolutely.
when we prioritize ourself, our health, our mental well-being, a rising tide raises all ships. And this is what I have to talk to my clients about a lot. It's like the version of you that can help the most people is the best version of you, the lit up version of you,
Exactly.
the energized,
Yep.
right? The energized version of you. That's the best mom, the best son, the best daughter, the best husband, the best whatever. It's the best version of you. So by pouring into yourself, you're able to then vibrate at a higher frequency. You're able to have more
Exactly.
energy. You're able to, be an all around better person. And, that's why my focus is always internal, because it's like, if I do that, then I can be better. And if everyone did that, then everyone would be better. We wouldn't have to worry so much about others, because everyone would be so
Less.
focused on themselves, right? And so, it's interesting as you're talking, you're like, well, when I feel this like true internal happiness that starts from within, I don't have to worry about the dust bunnies. I don't have to worry about the new car. I don't have to worry about the kids, the dog, all of this stuff. And I think that, anyone listening could nod along with that and be like, yeah, of course, who wouldn't want that? And another thing you said is that like it's so simple, but the simplest things are the things that are the simplest to not do either, because it seems almost too easy. And we go, okay, well, that can't be it. Like it has to be hard. It has to be complicated. It has to be something that takes a lot. So what is the first step even to start living in an aligned way where we are able to have that internal happiness?
We all need to step back. We need to instead of doing, we need to do a lot of being. And stepping back seems as if you're giving up. You're giving up on your dream, you're giving up on your happiness even. But that's the place where you will find the solutions. So by stepping back, you get a better overview. But most important, most importantly in my work and yours is that the emotions are too tied into the issue. So you need to step away from your issues. You need to step away from not being happy, the issue of not being happy. Let's say I'm not happy, something is bothering me. You need to back away from wanting to fix it. That is the very, very, very first step. And it's so, so simple. And that's where the perspective and the intuition and the insights and everything lives in the stepping away. But it's so simple that people, and or we're not taught that this is the solution, but that's where it's at. That's the very, very first step.
Hey, real quick, we'll be back to the show in just a few seconds. But right now, I just have to tell you about my free weekly newsletter. If you want to join the thousands of change seekers just like you who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content to help you on your quest for change, then click the link in the notes that says free newsletter right now. You'll get signed up for free tips that will make your change journey easier, sent straight to your inbox every Friday. All you have to do is click free newsletter in whatever app you're listening on. Okay, now back to the show. And I need the next step because I feel it. And I know what you're saying, I think. But initially, as soon as you say that, when you say, well, you need to step back and detach yourself from the wanting the thing to be different, like my initial gut reaction is like, well, the whole point is to change the thing, right? The whole point is to get better at the thing or to stop the negative thing. So you're telling me that the right way to do that is to actually ignore it or something like that. So if taking a step back is the first step, when do we actually get to the issue?
Well, I understand and I agree that comes across as very counterintuitive. But in that stepping back, it's kind of like, I'm going to demonstrate on screen here. If you're pressing your face up against the window, because behind this window, there's that thing that you're trying to fix, you're trying to get at it. Well, the window, the issue, the energy is very strong. You've got this window pane that is hindering you from really doing anything. It becomes impossible you get too close to it and it's too big of an emotional upheaval. You're too invested in it. But when you back away, you might notice that, oh, look, here to the right, there's like a little hole in the glass, in the access to the issue, and maybe I can sneak in that way from the side. And that might be an easier way to get at it. Additionally, what happens when you back away is, aside from seeing options, that you have options, you're actually not stuck, it's actually not impossible, you start seeing all these solutions. Emotionally, when you get that breathing space from being pressed up against the issue, you can breathe easily, you can think clearer, your whole system gets energized to actually do something about it, as opposed to fritzing out, making a scene, throwing up all your options in the air, maybe even giving up because it's such a big deal. In backing away, you get all the tools. The tools kind of come to you. The tools find you. And then you have better ways to getting at the issue. That the stepping back might not be the whole answer and you wanted, step two. So step two could be to calm down the feelings, to desensitize, to deflate the state of it, the grade of it, to diminish the issue. And again, to see options and solutions and to realize that maybe it isn't as bad as it came across as being when you were so close to the issue. So calming down the breathing, calming down, interrupting your thoughts, planting thoughts that are better, more real. I'm not stuck. I just thought I was stuck, but oh, now that I back away, now that I have perspective on the situation, I'm realizing that maybe it's not as bad as it seemed. Because the body gets in a state of shock, if you will, a small state of shock or a big state of shock. And this state takes over your body and becomes so big and real that your whole system thinks it is real, but it might not be. And that's the possibility. You need to get a chance to realize that, maybe it's not so bad after all.
The word you just used, which sums it up perfectly, is perspective. And again, it's so interesting that we're having this conversation right now because I also wrote about this in my list of 34 things that the ultimate antidote to everything that we struggle with is time and space. When you're in it, it looks a lot different than an hour later and a mile removed. And just that shift in perspective will change a lot about your decision making and a lot about just how intense we feel about it, a lot about how we what we have feel we have to do. And you mentioned the stories that we tell around these things, and that's something that I'd like to discuss as well. Something I've heard you talk about before is imposter syndrome. And I'm curious, as someone who, as you said, had a past life in a vastly different career, if that's something that you struggled with when transitioning into a space of helping people, because I know that that's something that's I've struggled with personally, and a lot of my other friends who are coaches, therapists, and whatever else tend to struggle with, is the kind of idea of like, who am I to do this? And a lot of people are in the world where you were before, where they're in the job that they hate, and or maybe that they don't even hate, but they feel called to do something else. They're like, I know that I'm meant for more. I know that there's something inside me that I can bring to the world, that I can give to people, that I can help. But who am I? I'm just Susie. I'm just Derek. I'm just whoever. And what makes me capable of actually doing this? So how, one, I'm curious if you dealt with that at all yourself, and where do you start to work with people to unravel imposter syndrome?
I've been lucky. I haven't struggled with imposter syndrome. I've had other issues. We all have issues. We all have crosses to bear. But imposter syndrome wasn't necessarily my issue. But what happens, and maybe it's because I learned very quickly or early on in this shifting of doing something else. Plus, for me, it was a very strong calling. So I just followed it and investigated it at first. At first, it was just kind of a curiosity and let me see what I can find out. It wasn't let me see what I can do for others. But early on, someone told me that you only need to be one step or two steps, maybe five steps ahead of the person that you are helping. Other than that, imposter syndrome can show up in all kinds of ways, not just in terms of, helping others, but it can be issues where you're in a group of your colleagues and you might feel that, oh, they know so much and they've done this for years, and here I am just starting out. But they've been where you've been. So these are all words and these are all truths. But if you still feel that, oh, I know all of this, but my feeling tells me something else, then it's time to do some tapping, some EMDR, some whatever it is that you can use and get helped with to shift these beliefs, to shift these thoughts that your mind is used to thinking, to shift maybe something that got stuck when you were little. Maybe you were in school and your parents said, oh, you're not ever going to be able to do that. And that you took that on. Oh, I'm never going to be able to do anything well. So you might need to go back to that little person, to that state of you, and have a chat. Explain to that little person that, well, yeah, maybe that's how it was then. Maybe I couldn't be a ballerina for certain particular reasons, but they didn't mean it that I could never be something I want. I just have to pick something that works better. And you have this explanation with your other self, with your inner self. As I'm saying this, it's very obvious. Yeah, sure, you can do that. But when your feelings are telling you that no way, no way, I don't deserve that. There can be all kinds of issues around this that have come with time. You have bought certain things, believed people, believed situations, believed your feelings. And my point is that you don't need to. You don't need to believe your feelings. Trust your intuition instead. Your feelings are a bit naughty sometimes. They take too much space and room, and they take over, and they have like they basically have a life of their own. So don't take them seriously. Believe your intuition. That will guide you to a better place. But sometimes you need help, and I mean, we're here for each other. We need each other. So take help. Don't be afraid to reach out to someone and get help.
Yeah, of course. I think that, that's to me a big part of the human experience is that we are social creatures. We are meant to thrive in the pack, right? And so, the whole thing of I can do everything on my own is just flat out wrong. No man, no woman is an island, as they say. And so, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. But I'm interested what you just said at the end there about trusting your intuition versus listening to feelings. And again, to my logical, whatever brain, I go, okay, what's the difference? How do I know what a feeling is versus what is my intuition? Because I feel like I am scared or shouldn't do this or that I will never succeed. And like, isn't that trusting my intuition? So how do we learn to trust ourselves and know, okay, this is like my actual guiding force, and this is just fear or a feeling or whatever else it is.
In my opinion, fears are negative. So when you feel something negative, you don't necessarily need to believe that. But your intuition will show you options. So, when basic, it really is that simple in my mind. When something negative pops up, step back and have a chat with it. But when an idea pops up, a suggestion, a dream, we dream way too little. In my mind, we need to dream a lot more. If you journal, maybe start journaling and see what comes up. What ideas are you getting? That is the route. That's intuition. The possibilities are the intuition. The fears. Make sure you have a chat with those, the negatives.
Yeah, I love that to just have a conversation with it. And just, I always say, just dig a little bit deeper. Just, sometimes one more question of just like, but is that true? Do I actually know this to be true? A lot of our feelings, especially negative ones, fall apart under just the tiniest bit of scrutiny. I messed up. Everything is going bad. It's like, well, but is it? Like what's really going on here? And that goes back to what you were saying before about just taking a step back, right? When your face is, to use your analogy, right up against the window, it's very hard to see the full picture. But with just a few steps back and a couple deep breaths,
you're able to really see what's going on. And then, you know, a little bit of questioning of like, okay, like what's actually happening here? I think that that's a really important skill to start to hone. And that's an important piece here too, is like the stuff, you know, just hearing it once is like, doesn't change anything. You actually have to put it into action and realize that it takes practice, right? You've practiced this stuff, and I have, and it, you know, the first time it works, but maybe not as well. And then, but years, months of doing this same practice over and over, it starts to become more automatic. It starts to become questioning these beliefs becomes the rule rather than the exception. So I appreciate I appreciate you kind of giving us that perspective. And I'm curious,
and breaking state is what works with the techniques. I mean, that's why I like the techniques, because they break up, they break apart, they get you out of your self-hypnosis, if you will, because you're stuck in these beliefs. So you need to break them open, break them open them up to the sunshine, so the sunshine can come through and brighten things up.
I love that analogy, opening it up to the sun, because it's exactly as you said, changing the state. When we're in it, it can feel like this is how it's always going to be. And that's a big part of what depression is, and people who are, you know, really going through it. It's like, it's not that it feels bad. It's that it feels bad and it feels like it's going to be like this forever. So just changing that, either literally, physically getting up and going to a different room, literally going outside and getting sunshine. Like, there's so many ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, you know, the one question that I ask every guest that I have on this show is, if you could give one action step for listeners right now, as soon as this episode ends, as soon as they take their headphones out, to start living a happier, healthier life, something they can take action with immediately, what would that be?
Well, I actually have three steps that are the foundation and the whole picture even. So the first one is to back away. Like you said, step away, go out, just shift. Sometimes you're stuck sitting down. Let's say you're at a conference, or you're in a business meeting, or some sort of negotiations, and you might not necessarily be able to move. But within yourself, just picture that you just take a deep breath and just back away, like from this, even if it's an inch or two or a centimeter or two, as I say here, just the smallest little shift away from this window pane or from this situation will give you maneuverability. The second state is to quickly assess, well, what is working? What have I experienced that works? Where have I enjoyed myself? Some sort of reality check that everything isn't bad. This is temporary, but I have been in amazing states, and be grateful for that. And then quickly look forward. Well, if and when this ends, this meeting, this feeling, apparently when we have a feeling that is unpleasant, it only lasts, the chemical process, the hormones rushing through our body, let's say when we get a shock of some sort, because that's kind of clear for people to understand that that's a very quick or intense emotional situation. And that only lasts for 90 seconds, according to brain scans and science. So that flush is only 90 seconds long. And everything after that, that's you. Because the feeling, the shock, the unpleasantness is very short. So look towards what you really want. So many people that I see don't really know what they want. They really are very, very good at knowing what they don't want. but what do you want? How should that, how would that look? Well, I don't know. I just want to be happy. Yeah, but how happy? When happy? So envisioning yourself in the desired place, and that's why I always say that dreaming is so important. Dreaming, visualization. It's not silly, it's not goofy, it's important. So do that. And that you can do in just a few seconds. 2 seconds on in one state, two in the next, and you know, within 10 seconds, you've shifted out of this stuckness. So that's very actionable. So please use it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the type of stuff that I love to hear. And I love equipping people with more tools like this. So I'm very appreciative of you offering that. So very appreciative of you and your time and sharing that with everyone. Thank you so much for being here today. I really, really enjoyed this conversation.
Now you see that true happiness or blissy joy is not found in external achievements or societal approval, but rather in a deep personal connection to your inner self and your values. I just love how Joanna illuminated the transformative power of taking a step back from the noise of life so you can gain clarity and perspective. And if you do that, it will ultimately guide you towards a more fulfilling existence. Through simply embracing simplicity and your own inner authenticity, you can start to uncover the profound joy that comes from living in alignment with who you truly are. And that is change made easy. If you're really passionate about making this change stick, then I just have to remind you about my free weekly newsletter. Don't miss out on joining the thousands of change seekers just like you, who get a curated list each week of 5 educational, informative, and inspiring pieces of content that will help you on your quest for change. Go to the notes of whatever app you're listening on and click the link that says free newsletter now, and you'll be signed up to get free tips sent straight to your inbox every Friday that will help make your change journey easier. All you have to do is click free newsletter right now. Go to that link, and I'll see you back here every Tuesday and Thursday for new episodes of Change Made Easy.